There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stacking Pennies presented by Mobile One. Big show today, breaking down McDowell's Indy domination. Two more opportunities for playoff spots. Who is going to get them? We have some pit road boats and woe of the week. And one of them's probably mine. This is Stacking Pennies.
Stacking them deep, selling them cheap.
It tastes like gasoline, rubber, and victory.
We're just out here stacking pennies.
All right, guys, I'm Corey LaJoy, driver of the number 7 Camaro. Still frustrated. I'll tell you why in a minute. But I'm joined by the normal band of characters. Minus one to my left, Ryan Flores.
Hey there.
How's the appendix feeling?
It's gone.
There's I guess you wouldn't feel it.
Yep, it's...
Yeah, I guess you wouldn't feel
it. I feel good, but I'm ready to rip.
When's the date?
I think I'm going to come back to Daytona.
Oh.
No matter what we do from here.
I'll see you at Daytona.
You promised me you won Daytona.
And then Chuck Bush.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well. Going well. I was frustrated. I had one of those. I felt like Kurt Busch on Sunday afternoon. Felt like your cousin, Chuck. I had a car that had tremendous speed. Our Gainbridge Camaro qualified 14th, career best qualifying effort on a road course. I was pumped up about that. We had a little bit, knocked the toe out there when Joey backed it into the entire field on that second restart. So I knocked the toe out.
Front toe or rear toe?
Front toe. Didn't drive quite as good after that, but still settled in 14th, 15th, somewhere in there, looking like a solid day. Couldn't ask for any better, too, because the way, as good as we qualified, with no cautions, you have, I don't know, a really good opportunity to have a strong finish if you start with good track position. Came down and bet on pit road like an idiot.
You were looking like a real freaking road course racer
Which
there for
makes
a while.
Me even more pissed off Mixing because, man, I've been spending a lot of time trying to just figure out the way to attack brake zones, looking at SMT, working with Ryan Sparks, working with Roy to just get our cars driving better road courses. And then you go and you speed 0.09 miles an hour and you entirely ruin
your
day.
How did you speed?
What happened was the only green flag stop of the day, come down, put four tires and fuel in it. So you drag. Some people do it different. I hold 10% of gas or whatever it takes and I drag brakes, right? So if you don't drag brakes, the car tends to buck. If it's in like the low RPM, it'll go and kind of be harder to find your lights. So I gas and brake, double foot it, and hold it within the RPM range to find your pit road speed. So I found my pit road speed after the pit stop, and we have a bar of circle dots, and there's like 6 green dots, and then there's 2 red dots. And generally, you can flash a 1 red dot, and that's like 40, in this case, 44.8, all right? We give ourselves a little bit of a buffer. So I was holding all greens. I was giving myself a little bit of a barrier just because I didn't feel like it was worth pressing. And I was like, oh, generally with new tires, I'll reach down and put about 2 rounds of rear brake bias in the thing so I don't lock a front tire up on stickers. So I look at my dash from pit road lights. I look down for, I don't know, 2 wrist cranks worth of rear bias. And as I look up, I was in 2 red lights, which is speeding. And I tried to slam on the brakes.
You were past the line, right?
You don't know where the line is. It was in the middle of pit road, right? Because there's 15 segments, and it's just elapsed time over the segment. So it's not like somebody sits there and has a gun. It's if you are fast in a segment. So I knew that I was heavy a light, that I had to give it back. So I just slammed on the brakes to try to get it back. And unfortunately, I was already out of that segment that I was speeding in. So I feel like I let the team down. I feel like I let a lot of people down with this weekend being a big week with Gainbridge on the car. They have a huge presence at Indianapolis, just in downtown, but also at the racetrack. Got to spend a little time with Dan Towers on Saturday during the IndyCar race, but shot myself in the freaking foot.
The worst is Sunday. When you do that and you're like, oh, and then you get back out on the track and you're like, eh,
wait,
maybe.
You're just waiting on
you're like, yeah. It's like when you come home, your dog had like in the house or like chewed something, you know, and they're acting weird.
Yeah.
But you don't know what it is yet. That's how you feel. Like you're like the dog. You're kind of like, and then every time the mic keys, you're like,
yeah. Well, cause there's a lot of times where you feel like you're pushing lights. And then you, like, the first lap and a half after the green flag stop, you're like, okay, we went two laps. Okay, I'm good. Yes.
Yeah, back to the race. Yeah, yeah. Your focus shifts back.
Yeah, so I was having radio issues, too. I couldn't really hear, and I was sitting there messing with switches and turning radios on, and I got it turned on, like, two laps after the yellow, and my secondary spotter, Stefan Parsons, was like, we have to come this time. And I'm like, come down. Go from, I don't know, 15th to last. And then you got no cautions the rest of the day, which stunk.
You ass-packed our only, guy that brought a caution.
Yeah.
There's only been one caution. We got him here on the show today to talk about it.
Justin Haley. So my man got T-rashed by Joey on the third lap of the race, was cosmetically wounded, running slow, but not just slow on the straightaway because his car was super draggy.
Yeah.
So I catch him. It was the first time I got around him. I catch him and I was like, I don't know, three car lengths back into seven, the backstretch hard braking zone under the bridge. And I didn't realize he was going to give me the bottom in the corner.
Smashed
him.
So
he checked up like 200 feet earlier than I expected. And I got to the brakes and locked the rears up and just absolutely annihilated him with like, it was like 25 to go, 30 to go. So it knocked my ductwork loose. It crushed the snorkel inlet for the
30 laps to go in the race?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a long 30 laps around that place, though.
Tell me about it. We went from running 30s. I mean, we were probably 3/10 off of McDowell because the 9 was probably the fastest car. He was 89, 90s. We went from that to 32 flats. Instantly knocked a second and a half out of the car.
What about Balicki?
I thought he was giving me the bottom, and then he closed it off, and I was in there. Hmm. Similar to what you guys did with the 16.
No.
The 16 moved y'all out of the way.
I wasn't even there, but I will say this.
No, y'all.
Hey, well, I'm on the team. I'm there.
And your name's Ryan.
But I was, like, proud to see it because the 16 just bombed it in there.
He did bomb it
in
there.
And I feel like people take advantage of Blaney at road courses. I do. I think that at the end of the races when it gets, especially when the pay window opens, he ends up backwards more often than not.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Where'd he end up?
I think tail end of the top, maybe like 12th or 14th. But yeah, man, you reap what you sow. He came in there, like Ryan arced his corner and the 16 drove in there and blasted him and then was going to drive on. And guess what? Sorry.
Not today, sir.
So, yeah, you don't. But then he was mad.
The 16.
The Allmendinger is the person I get the most frustrated with. Like we battled with him on the Xfinity side when I changed tires for Austin, and like there was stuff that I feel like they were like the kings of doing stuff to you, but not wanting it done to them.
Yeah.
Right. Like I can race you like that, but you can't race me like that. So I don't know. Not my fight. I wasn't even there. I don't really know exactly what happened, but yeah.
But 12 finished better than 16 did.
Yeah.
Spun him right out.
Yeah, but
somebody we could talk about the international guys. In my opinion, that was the stoutest competition for a road course race in the history of NASCAR.
So this Instagram post by NASCAR,
hit me.
7 countries,
yep.
17 Xfinity Series championships, 9 Cup Series championships, 4 IMSA championships, 3 Truck Series championships, 3 Supercar championships, 2 WEC championships, and 1 Formula One championship.
Holy cow.
Dude, that's like, and then the wins, obviously, 936 NASCAR National, 82 Supercar, 45 IMSA, 15 Formula One, and 5 IndyCar wins. Like, you're not getting that parity in a field anywhere. You're not getting that at, you're not getting that at SRX, you're not getting that in
anywhere.
IndyCar,
F1.
You're not getting it anywhere. So.
No, and like, I love to see it. I love guys coming in, and also it's like a little bit of a tester, like, hey guys, can we keep up with the best that's out there? And you know, you see Kamui, he was fast at times. He got Stenhoused.
1776.
We're the champs. He was holding our soil down. He said, "Don't you come on here and try to trample on our soil."
Yeah, but dude, SVG spun out.
Who'd he spin?
Ty out? Gibbs.
He did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Spun right out where?
I think into one maybe. I don't know exactly. Now you're asking me questions I don't have the answers to, but he spun him right out. And then like even the okay, so it's apparent the supercar guys have the most pace of anybody that's come over here and been a say in the history of road course ringers, right? Yeah. Because Kostecki,
it's the most relative car.
But yeah, and those guys they hammer down.
Well, it's also you rise to the level of what you're with. So if you have to try to beat SVG, you're going to figure out how to find the pace that SVG does, right?
Brody
so,
Kostecki had great pace in qualifying too.
Qualified 11th.
But he, you know, just tank slapped it. I think from what I understand,
got on the left rear bump stop.
Yeah, because you come up on the where the infield meets the racetrack.
Yeah, it's turn 11. It's a fast. You're asking a lot out of the left rear tire there, and and that's also right where the alternative start finish line is, right before that corner. So you have to you're wide open to that. You're hauling ass to it, and you're wide open to that line. And if you're on a heater of a lap, you have to try to hold that thing wide open. And if your car is on the verge of left rear bump stop, that's probably one of the places of the racetrack where you're going to be closest to it. And if he got through there, through the entry, through center well, and it catches the banking, just that difference of catching the banking probably initiated that bump stop and broke traction and it augured in the fence. Went to a backup car and to start shotgun.
Did they go
the
to
field.
A backup car?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought they fixed it. They went to a backup car. Wow.
A backup car. So the fact that they started shotgun on the field with limited practice, I would say let's do a little grading system. Chuck, I want your opinion on this. I said last week that if SVG ran eighth or better, that would be an excellent day. And he ran 10th.
Yeah.
What do you give him?
I give him a B+.
That's fairly strict. I would say it's an A.
He just won his first ever.
A minus.
He just won his first ever start. Yep. He's graded on a curve, dog.
Okay, that's fair. A minus. Well, it was a little bit more, I wouldn't say equal terms. It's not equal terms because he was at a deficit coming in at a place where we've had 3 years of experience. But it's no surprise how strong Trackhouse's cars are. Daniel Suarez was on the pole. So anytime you can jump in with a key partner team like that and instantly have speed and know the car's got it in it, that certainly helps. You're going with B+ SVG?
I mean, for him, yeah.
Yep. I'll go A- SVG. Another solid run. Two top tens in his first two races. Chuck, what do you give SVG?
I'm going with an A- as well.
Okay.
I mean, I think that he held his own against the guys. Lap six that he spun out Ty Gibbs. He was battling, I think, with Denny Hamlin at one point. He looked strong.
Yeah.
And if you factor in what he did at IRP in the trucks the night before.
Yep.
First time on an oval.
Gets the race. 19th.
Yeah. Like, I think he's making a strong case that he could be competitive in the Cup Series. Not just on
so you
road
are,
courses.
So you are hearing him in every interview. They are working on something over there.
Yeah.
Something's a brewing.
I'd be pissed if I'm Jamie Wincup. That's for sure.
Why? Your workhorse driver's leaving you?
You're losing your best guy.
Well, pay up.
Yeah.
Pay up to keep the guy. But I would really love to see him come over. I could see a situation where he's mixing all three national series to get some oval experience next year. Maybe not an oval on the Cup side, but I could see him probably doing some road course races on the Cup side and then doing some Xfinity, some truck stuff. And those guys, I mean, they would have the runway to develop a guy like SVG, and we certainly know he's a world-class race car driver.
And it's not his first oval race ever. He runs sprint cars for fun.
All right. Yeah. First asphalt.
His first, oval like, race. First national series oval race.
Yeah.
He might run the Thunderdome over there.
He might have run the Thunderdome. Who knows? Next up, Brody Kostecki.
Am I grading first?
Yep.
I give Brody a flat B.
Okay.
I think that if that thing doesn't bottom out and get a left rear stop, he could run in the top 10.
I agree.
You know,
that.
And then that's an A day.
Could be an A+ day.
And I think that, you know, to recover. I was going to grade him against Will Byron, but Will Byron got to 14th because he had to start last two. But yeah, to recover back to 22nd on a day where you really couldn't pass and you just had to learn full green flag run, I'd give him a B for sure.
I would say I might give him a little higher grade. I think B plus for Brody Kostecki, because one, I like him and he came in podcast studio with him, so I'll bump his grade up a little bit. Chuck, what do you give him?
I'm going solid B.
Okay,
let's go.
Yeah, I mean, I think he looked good, overcame some issues, and I mean that car, it was interesting to see on the grid. That was a Kyle Busch car. Like he was dry. It had, you could see underneath Kostecki.
Yeah. On the window.
Kyle's
the
signature.
Window.
Yeah. And then,
it was wrapped over.
Yeah. And there was an 8-chi on the hood. So,
okay. 3-chi.
3-chi. Yeah. 8-chi. It's the 8 car. Yeah. Yep.
Mike Rockenfeller. Rocky.
Flat C. C minus. I think that.
Average?
I think maybe a little below average.
Really?
We're at the 43 run.
He was really bad.
I think he's probably a little bit better than the horse he was sitting in that day. But
C plus.
Okay. I'll just give him a flat C. Nicer teacher than I am.
Yeah, I'm grand on the curve here, too, because I like Rocky, and he's been on the podcast, too. C plus for him. Chuck.
C.
I had to go to summer school twice, bro. I'm like, my teachers were hard on me.
Went to fifth grade four times.
I'm not giving out freebies here.
Jensen Button.
He did finish ahead of the 43.
Yeah, I saw that quite a bit. 43 was 35th.
I think he didn't have first gear.
That's what it was. And you run a lot of the track without first gear.
You run a lot of track in first gear.
That makes you tight.
It would make you run really slow.
Yeah.
Got to have first gear.
Jensen Button's a C minus for me.
I would agree with that. I would.
It's just lackluster day. I mean, he was right there, right by Andy Lally.
Yeah.
But maybe seeing where his team car was with Andy Lally in it, I'd give him a flat C, but I'll just go C minus because I think he should do better.
I'll go C minus as well. F1 champion, 2008 world champion. He's my guy. And I named my kid after him, so I'd expect a little more than that.
And didn't he?
Also, you know what? I might even give him a D plus.
Oh, boy.
Because I asked him that. I sat next to him at the driver's meeting. And we've grown a decent rapport, right? You see him at the racetrack and you talk shop, talk life. Sit down at the driver's meeting. I asked him, are you doing any more this year? No, this is it. Oh, shucks, you know. And so I was thinking as I walked from the driver's meeting up to the driver intros, I was like, maybe I'd do a helmet swap with him. But I didn't want to give him my penny helmet because I like that one. I'll give him like my backup helmet that I wear like sometimes. And he's like, man, I only have like one helmet. He said, but I'm getting some replica helmets if you'd like be down for that. I said, no. Want a replica helmet? You kidding me?
Well, those guys, in his defense, those guys, when they stop racing like F1 full-time, they get one helmet a year.
Yeah, that's probably true.
So he doesn't have any to give away.
Yeah, but replica? Come on.
A little rough.
Come on.
Come on, I mean.
D plus. If we'd have been A plus, Chuck? If he gave me a helmet swap.
What's yours?
But he didn't.
I was going C minus. I think he speed on pit road as well?
He sped on pit road.
Oh, yeah.
That'll do it.
Kobayashi.
Can't do that. Kobayashi.
I think he had decent pace. He had better pace than what I thought he was going to have.
Ty Dillon said he would miss every single braking zone for like four laps in a row, nail one lap and run like the second half faster than everybody was around, and then he'd miss it for the next five corners.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's hard to get.
Cars are just heavy, dude, compared to what he runs. He drives those World Endurance Championship cars that are freaking carbon fiber brakes and
yeah,
ton of downforce. But my guy had some speed, and it's just a list of guys that are coming over to race in really good cars is really positive for the future of our sport. I think there's opportunity for that more and more.
If I'm a teacher, I'm just going to give him a C because I caught Ricky Stenhouse give him a wedgie and a swirly in the back. So I'm going to help him out a little bit on his scorecard.
Yeah, we feel bad. We feel bad for him. So sorry for Stenhouse giving you a wedgie and a swirly. Yeah, that's what that was.
What'd you give him?
I'd give him a C plus.
Same
C plus. Just his positivity.
So nice.
And like, there were fans in the stands around turn one that had Japanese flags. Like, is what he's doing to bring that sport to a new audience. I think that you get that plus.
Yep, I would agree with that. So who is the next guy
to come over here and race? I mean, I think it's got to be like Daniel Ricciardo or somebody like that.
He's busy right now. He's got a job.
Yeah, but he won't for long.
I don't really know of any other dogs in the V8 Supercar Series, but I'm sure those guys are like, give me a shot.
Well, the only reason we really know Brody is because he was over here.
That's true.
I think like the Jordan Taylor parallels, I think some of those guys could be good, but I mean, whoever wants it.
Come on and get it.
And yeah, I mean like, hey, but you saw Kenny Schrader. Old Schrader went to Canada.
Shout out. Paul Tracy wasn't in the race or first American to ever win a Pinty's race.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really cool to see Schrader win that. But
dirt race, right?
Yeah, dirt race. It was slick, buddy.
No.
Oh, buddy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Do your pennies stretch as far as they used to? Most likely it doesn't. Here's why. It took 200 years for the U.S. to print its first $5 trillion. Today, Washington has done that in just 3 years. The problem, every new dollar makes each one of your dollars worth less, robbing you and every other hardworking American. But you can stop this cycle of robbery by diversifying your IRA or 401k into gold, an asset that has stood the test of time. Our new sponsor, Birch Gold Group, has helped tens of thousands of Americans protect their retirement savings with physical precious metals. Now you can too. Get a free info kit on gold right now by texting the word Corey, C-O-R-E-Y, to 989-898. With an A-plus rating with the BBB, you're in good hands with Birch Gold. So get your free info kit by texting Corey to the number 989-898. Go check them out. Put some pennies in some gold.
It's getting to be crunch time.
Two, go.
And there's a lot of murmurs about McDowell. My favorite
side by side
GIF or whatever I saw is when Denny said, "Newsflash, Chase Elliott's good on road courses. You know he's gonna pass Mike. You don't think he can pass Michael McDowell?" And then it had the Michael Jordan next to it, and I took that personally.
He did,
dude. Poetic justice, beating the 9 car too.
I know. She laid the hammer down on the field. Just took the lead early from the 99 and just controlled the race.
Dude, it was.
Shout out to Travis Peterson, Petey. Northwest Cabarrus alumni. Let's go.
Kickball champion.
Yes, he is. And now he is an Indy GP champion. Crew chief.
Yeah. Yeah,
shout out to McDowell, though. It's not a surprise. Anybody that's watched this year, those guys have been super strong on the road courses. He had a great quote, man. Let me try to find it.
Dude, going into the road course this weekend, he has scored the most points out of any cup driver in the next-gen car era on road courses. So he's elevated that stat even more. And, yeah, he's here, dude. He's got a new deal. He's staying at front row.
Yep, they picked up his option, so he's got a spot. And the next weekend puts those guys in victory lane. And I can relate to, like, how he's done it. Now, he has done it the freaking long, long way. I mean, my man was starting and parking, driving the camper across the nation, just trying to, like, make it, right? Just rubbing legitimately two pennies together to try to get his chance. And it has always seemed like to me that he had, like, a headwind up against his career. Like, it never generally bounced his way, and he was just racing for his life. And he had a great quote to Dustin Long on NBC Sports. He said, even when I was starting parking, I'm like, there's going to be a day where I'm going to win races and win championships. I know it and I feel it. My mindset hasn't changed from that. It's just been a rough road. It's been tough. I mean, just is. I won't allow myself to think anything else because why would I be here? It's just when you've dedicated your entire life to something, to suck at it is not an option. And it's just taken me a lot more years than I've wanted to not suck at it.
Yeah. I mean, dude, and it's got to give you motivation because he was with the 34 when those cars, the Taco Bell era, were terrible.
Junk. Yeah, junk.
And, you know, he has elevated that program and stuck with them, and they've stuck together. And it, you know, it seems like they're all pulling the rope in the same direction.
Yeah. Yeah. Continuity is a big thing with this car, and just rapport and driver, crew chief feedback, and just how you prepare for a race and how you post for a race. Man, all those stuff really, really goes into the outcome of a weekend that you don't see behind the wheel. It's not just he is super skilled at a road course. That's easy to see. But he also said, he's like, we were a third to fifth place car, Sonoma, and they wanted to risk it a little bit. They wanted to go get after it and try a couple things that they hadn't. And that thing was a dominant race car.
It's a little bit cool to me to see, like, obviously I work at a big team and I've always wanted to love being at a big team. But when you look at what the series has become, especially in the last couple weeks, right? It would be like Hendrick would dominate half the season with the old car before the next gen car. And I thought it would trend more that way the further we got into the next gen era, but it's actually going back the other way.
Yeah.
And it's kind of old school to where, like, you always kind of wanted to be at a big team to have the resources, and big teams could just essentially build a better mousetrap. Well, now everybody's got the same thing. So now it's about people.
Yep.
So, okay. So Blake Harris last year is crew chief for McDowell. They do good. And then Hendrick comes Yanks and him. Swipes him up, right? Good for him. Does Peterson, like, now, if you build a team and you're at the 34, right, is it as appealing to go to a big team if you've got, like...
Great question.
And you're living proof of it, right? Not bashing the 9 car or whatever, but it doesn't automatically mean...
That's better.
You're going to win races and be in the top 10. Like, you can stay with what you have and keep watering that plant and let it grow.
Now... The amount of resources and depth those teams have and personnel to make all the data that they have available to them digestible for a driver, and the rate at which they can acquire data and make it to where they find your weaknesses and make you grow as a driver is at those bigger teams, right? Those guys, like Denny Hamlin becomes Denny Hamlin because he's at Gibbs.
Yeah.
Chase Elliott, William Byron becomes William Byron because he's had a Hendrick foundation and system to learn in. So I think you can develop your skills in a faster rate at one of those bigger teams, but it's not to say that it's insurmountable outside of one of those, what do you want to call them? Big teams.
Yeah.
You could hit on it. If you hit on it for on a setup that if you're a small team and you hit on some stuff, you don't need to rely on the big teams to do it. But I think the fact of how quickly and how effectively the bigger teams acquire data from their 4 cars, great crew chiefs, great drivers, they can continue to find those small advantages over the rate at which, like, Aspire Motorsports acquires data and starts developing. So that's where we get a little bit behind. But it's not and we're talking to a guy here in a couple of minutes, Justin Haley, who sees the value in that, sees some value in continuity, see some value in getting with the team that builds around you. So I'm excited to hear what he has to say. I still just don't consider the Indy GP a crown jewel race. Just don't do it.
Yeah.
But that's opinionated.
No, I mean.
Are we going back? Did I see on social media that we're going back to the Oval?
There is their tweet on Indianapolis Motor Speedway tweeted out, "See you around next year." They've got the 30th anniversary logo, which looks very similar to
the first one, or
the
whatever.
First one, and the car's going right,
clockwise, counterclockwise.
So, I mean,
I hope.
I don't know. Like,
I think these cars,
they wouldn't be testing the Oval today if they didn't have plans for it, at least, right? I think, you know, I think we all said the Oval had run flat. Nobody had really gone and, you know, take it off the Oval for a couple of years, get some excitement built up around it, and bring us back there, and let us rip. This car is going to race great here, hopefully.
I agree with that.
And, man, there's just something about going to the Indy Oval that's just, I don't know, it's just a little bit majestic.
It is. And you and back in the day, man, I said back in the day, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, you would bring your best body, your best brand-new car, your latest and greatest motor package exhaust pipes, oil tank, everything that you've been working on for 3-4 months is on your Indy car.
Yeah.
And when that son of a bitch rifles off into turn one about 209, it wakes you up.
I bet.
So I'm excited to go back there if that's the case.
We've talked about this before, but tell me your crown jewels.
Coke 600, Daytona 500, Southern 500. And it would be the Brickyard 400.
Bristol Night Race isn't one of them.
I'm on the fence about that because you've talked me off the Bristol ledge already.
No. I didn't talk you off the Bristol ledge.
For me personally, as a race car driver, as just like a little kid fan of the sport, Bristol Night Race, when I tell any fan or ask any fan if they haven't been to a race, one they need to go see first is the Bristol Night Race, because I feel like that is the best package and show that NASCAR has to offer.
So I agree. Those are my five, right? Like, those are the five that I want to win. And Indy being a road course, it takes away from that for sure. What do you think? Like, I think five is the right number of crown jewel races for the year.
What differentiates a crown jewel race?
So that's the next point I want to make, right?
Because
right here it says, like, do we create a system for Cup similar to the Winston Million or the Dash for Cash or the Triple Truck Challenge, you know, whatever you do now. But like the Winston Million, if you win all five in the crown jewel race, or you have $1 million bonus for the guy that scored the most points, like I think the modified tour does like the Granite State Cup, right? Or something like that, where they race in New Hampshire a couple times or up there.
Yeah.
And
I would love to see that.
What was it? The Sioux Chief Speedway Challenge?
Yeah, we need a Sioux Chief Speedway Challenge. Xfinity Crown Jewel Cup.
Xfinity Million? The Winston Million? The old.
It was $1 million back in 2003. Inflation. We got to pump those numbers up. We're talking $5 million.
I hear you.
$5 million.
Take the money out of it.
Nope.
No, I mean, no. Leave the money in, but take it out of the title. Like, don't say you're racing for X amount of money. Like there's prize money.
Almost like the FedEx Cup in golf, right?
I mean, hell, there's a dirt late model race for $1 million this year.
Yeah, and that's on dirt.
I mean, Denny had his idea for his...
Speaking of dirt.
$1 billion.
But he had...
$1 billion.
He had his idea for the in-race or the in-season tournament type thing, which is like, we've done that type of thing in the past. I think there's a way to do it that elevates all of these things. I remember growing up, like that, the Winston Noble, or like, you know, when Bill Elliott becomes $1 million Bill. Like
when they had that
God,
truck.
What a great name.
When they had that truck with the Brinks truck or whatever.
I remember that.
Flying out in front of Jeff Gordon's car.
So just the core memory.
There's a way to do it.
Let me go back one, because I'll forget this thought. Two Kyle Larson shout-outs. One, two-time Knoxville Nationals champion.
Badass.
Gosh. I don't think people even realize how much of a feat that is.
Yeah, it's a big
deal.
Tony
Stewart's never won at Knoxville Nationals.
There's a lot of people that have never won Knoxville Nationals.
I've never won a Knoxville Nationals.
There's a lot of people. There's a few people that have won a lot of Knoxville Nationals, though.
Yes. Donnie Schatz has won 11 times.
Steve Kinzer.
Yeah.
I think Steve Kinzer's won 12 or so.
In Kyle Larson's interview, he said, when the Knox father's in your mirror, you get a little nervous. But, dude, he legitimately flies back and forth, does his qualifying on a Thursday. I think he finished second, maybe. So he lined up on the pole. He had the most points. Led every lap. Does the whole post-win thing. Flies, lands at about 4 o'clock in the morning in Indy. Probably sleeps 2 hours. Gets up. Has a top 10 day. And then...
He's doing everything Tony Stewart ever did at a higher level than Tony's doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. And Tony Stewart's revered for his, you know... other than NASCAR accolades.
Yeah.
Kyle Larson is that dude. And he gets in town to Indy soon enough to take off the covers of his Indy 500 car that looks sick, by the way. Matching liveries? Are you kidding me? For his Cup car? Now, dumb
He's
question.
He's living every five-year-old who's playing with Matchbox's dream.
Are you kidding me?
And this is my Indy car. And this is my sprint car. And this is my midget. Yeah, oh, that one? No, I'm not. That's my dirt late model. You can use that one. That's Kevin's. That's Kevin's. I just use it sometimes.
Yeah. Like, so, it's a dumb question. So, the Cup car livery is going to be the Coke 600 livery.
Yes.
So that's like the H1100. How do we what does Kyle Larson, where's the threshold of where he finishes if he leave next year when he leaves the Indy 500 with what result? Could you instantly just count him one of the top three greatest to ever do it?
Win.
You think if he runs third?
I mean,
Kyle Larson can win the Indy
500. If Kyle Larson runs fifth at the Indy 500, I'm not surprised.
No.
Like, I'm not taking anything away from anybody there, but I've just watched him be impressive in everything he's ever gotten in. And he's not, like, with the feats that he's accomplished, like being a short track guy, being short track guys, you know, like when he went to Pennsylvania and won that third late model race, when he goes and runs these midgets and he beats those guys, he wins the Knoxville Nationals. Like, the Indy 500 is a whole different scale than that. But there's a guy that can do it, that if you'd be like, yep, he went and won the Indy 500, it's him.
It'd be unbelievable.
Yeah.
But not unbelievable. You could believe it because
he's in a McLaren. Like, he's not in junk.
Yeah.
Like, he's the guy.
Gosh, that would be pretty wild.
Then if he showed up and won the 600 same day, I'd be like, yep,
Larson. Give him a blue jacket when he gets
Frickin'
out.
Freaking Larson. Doing Larson Jeez. Stuff. But you know what, though? We did say two go.
Yeah.
There's going to be some people with some hurt feelings that don't make the playoffs. And I am happy this time of year that we are not the ones that are chasing that bubble, because there's some guys with some serious pressure.
Who do you think's under the most?
I think Bubba. I think Bubba's got
What's he, plus 20-something?
Plus 20-something, which is
It was
nothing.
Plus 50. 28.
Yeah. Plus 28.
It was plus 50 until McD got the dub, puts him now within striking distance. That's two. That's, I mean, essentially, if he has a bad Watkins Glen, for example, and Chase Elliott has wins two stages and runs third.
Yeah.
And you look at Daniel Suarez, who's on the pole. You'll talk about it in Boats and Woes, has that issue on pit road, but still finishes third.
He was right there, and he was, I mean, they're an adjustment away and battling out with the 34, maybe having a shot at it.
Yeah. Dude, the 99 car was strong.
So, I don't, and they, you know, they won a road course last year. So,
they're going back. We're going back. It's going to be, I would say Bubba, probably under the most pressure.
I think Bubba's in a seat right now that I don't want to sit in. But, you know.
Because also, you look at the 9, you can say he's under pressure, but it's not really pressure. You just have to win.
Yeah. Well.
They say like it's easy. But,
yeah.
I mean, he was in contention last year, and then they had a little Hendrick hiccup on the front row of a restart. Took him out of contention there.
Yeah.
But the 9's going to be set on kill this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, it's – road courses, bro. Weather can come into strategy, cautions. Good luck.
Thanks.
And then we'll just head on down to Daytona. And really, that was no drama in that one last year. Austin Dillon comes out of nowhere for the walk-off.
I know.
Right? So, I'm pumped to watch it. Way more pumped to not be on the pit crew of the guy that's on the fringe.
Oh, yeah.
So,
a lot of pressure.
Speaking of pit crews,
we can get to the woe of the week after we get our guest right here sitting down with us, Justin Haley, right after the break.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
For me, race day is a great reason to shut down the laptop, put the phone on silent, and simply enjoy the driving. But Mobile One wants to remind you that you can get that same kind of escape any day of the week. How? By simply hopping in your car, rolling the windows down, and hitting the road. No emails, no calls, no work, just freedom. Mobile One, for the love of driving. All right, guys, we are in studio with our special guest this week. To my right, driver of the number 31 Chevy Camaro, Justin Haley.
What's up?
This is the audio show you have to talk
about. I know. I mean, it's I've been putting you off. Been playing hard to get for a few weeks now.
You have.
Yeah.
But I got you. All it took is
come on and
all it took is Joey Logano. I'm gonna send you in the next week if you want to come in.
Yep, just a little short wake up call and here I am.
God almighty.
How are you feeling?
Big hit. Big hit to the old 31.
What hurts the most?
My heart. My soul. I mean, hey, there's not much worse things than having to wreck lap two and then
have it ride around the rest of the day.
Ride around there all day and no splitter, no front bumper.
Then the guy whose podcast you're on ass packs you.
Oh my God, I hit you so hard.
Yeah.
Nobody knows it except you two.
The only two people that know it. And like the body guy that has to fix it.
Two laps down, you know, just being a good lap car, you know, letting people by. My hand, you know, shorter guy. I can't get my hand out the window.
Hang on. Can I just address that right quick? So I didn't see your hand go out the window, but I saw a clip. I was watching Daytona back from the 500, but. Or last year, and there was a shot down the back straightaway, and it's you and Todd Gilliland nose to tail, and you're coming down the pit, and you're like two fingers are sticking out, and Gilliland's forearm and hand sticking out. I'm like, oh my goodness, that's the difference in height.
Yeah, I was behind Cindric in Michigan, did a little green flag pit stop, and I swear it was all the way to his elbow. It was out the window net.
And you're like sitting there.
But
like,
yeah, you know, I got to loosen up the old belt and like.
He's a beanstalk.
But yeah, so. Yeah, I was going to let the old 7 car by, you know,
I did not know. I did not anticipate you letting me by.
Yeah. And ran right into me.
I locked the rear tires up, and it was like I gained 15.
But what happened? Because I don't know what corner that is.
Six.
Six. Seven, at the end of the back stretch. Seven. It's a left-hander. And I was in the marbles.
So even
if I would have made the apex, you would have went straight.
Bro,
I think I'm the only reason.
If you weren't there, I was going to end up in the media center.
Yeah.
But. So whenever
were you looking at
I don't know
the stands,
what I was looking
at. One of the TV screens?
I was a little bit frustrated because I felt like I pissed the day away because I sped on pit road.
Yeah.
Right. So I had seen you up ahead. You weren't going terribly slow for how much damage your car.
Just fast enough to be dangerous.
Yeah, just fast enough to be dangerous. And you were getting to the brake zones like fairly decent.
Yeah.
So we had been driving, I don't know what your brake marker was, but like mine was like the 600. I didn't anticipate because I was probably 3 or 4 callings behind you. And I didn't anticipate you lifting it like the 800 and you were giving it to me. And when you did, I locked the rear tires up. Like I jammed on the brakes.
Panic.
And just like, boom. And then just, it wasn't even like I hit him going slow enough to where like I hit him and then like turned. I just stayed on him and pushed him through the corner. And I was like, okay, sorry.
There was a 20 mile an hour difference in the league.
Yeah. So if Joey Logano didn't kill you, I almost got you.
Yes. Yeah. My spotter came on the radio right after that. And he's like, well. All right, then. That's all he said. Because there's spotters that stand right there.
Oh, yeah, on the back of the trailers.
Yeah.
I was like, gosh.
There was about 4 people in the world that knew how big that was.
You and those 2 spotters in the hauler. And then, yes, that sucked.
How hard, like, on your scales of hard wrecks, right? Where was that? Where's the one? Not Corey, with Joey.
Yeah, I had a driver's side impact at Pocono a few weeks ago where AJ got in me and the tunnel turned.
I legitimately thought you were dead.
It was big.
But thank God you're not.
Yeah.
When you get Widowmaker into the tunnel turn, I saw you going like this, and I was like, oh, no.
It's already one of the scariest corners.
It's a bad angle.
My life flashed before my eyes for you.
Yeah. So that was big. And, you know, you just don't expect, like, that one from Indy this weekend to be big. And then you wake up and your neck's sore and trying to get your bearings and everything. Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I think it was probably just the driver's side impact part of it is.
You're going fast to Pocono when you get to the tunnel turn too.
Yeah. Oh,
I don't think also, I think people forget that like when you get in a wreck like that, you are getting in a car accident.
Yeah.
That is, you know, 50 G's.
Yeah.
It's not like if somebody's gotten rear end of the highway at 20 miles an hour, it hurts. If you hit the wall at 160, it does not feel good. Even though you have the helmets and the belts and the seats, like
yeah.
that
hurts. Yeah, you're still hitting a stopped object with a moving vehicle. Like, it's never going to feel good. Yeah. So, it's a good time in Indy. That's 2 years in a row at Indy. I've been out on the opening laps.
What happened last year?
I think Ross got into me in turn one.
Oof.
I spun out and someone ran over my splitter. Just took the whole front.
Oh, brutal.
Front off it. So.
Were you guys a fan in your restart zone since we're talking about Indy?
There was only one.
Yeah, in the restart.
And I wasn't in any part of it. So.
Well, the one restart they had, Joey backed into the entire field and log jammed it. And I was in the middle of what seemed like four wide. And when he hit the 12 hit me, and then the 2 put it out there like five wide, and it knocked my toe out. But I think that it was less just treacherous than it was last year.
Yeah.
But we only got one.
Yeah.
We only got, I mean, really only got two, but I'm excited to see that. I think they're – are they moving it for Watkins Glen? I didn't hear it.
No.
Same spot.
Yep.
You're an Indiana guy, aren't you? So is that the hometown – you consider that a hometown race pretty important to you, or how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I mean, I would say so. I mean, I definitely think there's a little bit of it gone because it is the road course, right? I mean, I ran Indy with Xfinity car my first year in Xfinity in 19, and I thought it was cool to run the big track. I mean, it's just different when you go. I actually like the road course itself. Like, I feel like it's a pretty flowy road course. You get around there, short lap times. I think it's fun, but yeah, I don't know. It's kind of weird going there now. It's something about it's different.
I think they're going to fix that.
I think so too. Tire test yesterday ran out a little bit and today as well. So hopefully they can get the right tires. So we can.
Your group chat will probably be fired up tonight.
I'd imagine.
Waiting for the first one.
Excited to see that for sure. You talked about your Xfinity race there at Brickyard, but I feel like you have a pretty unique kind of development career. And it almost seems like a lot of kids coming up now, you look at kids like Brent Cruz and William Sawalich and a lot of these guys, they're not racing anything really full-time. They're kind of racing Trans Am like you did, some part-time trucks, part-time Xfinity. Who kind of laid that groundwork out there for you to get so many different vehicles to just get a bunch of different seat time?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I was probably one of the first to really expand the horizons and go Trans Am racing and do that. And it was actually my uncle Drew. He just loved road racing and sports cars. And he got me into the Trans Am deal with Mike Cope Racing for a long time. And then I was doing some truck stuff and ARCA stuff with our own team that my other uncle had. And we did the East deal, won the East Championship in 16, and that was good. But still, that year I was running Canaan East, I ran for the Trans Am TA2 Championship the same year and finished third, fourth in that or something, and then won the East Championship, but I was also running ARCA. So, yeah, I think that was pretty important. I think it was kind of, I honestly, probably one of the best things I ever did was go Trans Am racing there real early on. And then, obviously I've always been in the dirt stuff, come from Indiana, raced some dirt open wheel stuff for a while. Yeah, so, I mean, I feel like I've always kind of been all over the place, but I think it definitely helped a lot.
For sure. I mean, at that point in time, too, when you're, 10, 12 years ago, the cup schedule does not even remotely look like it does right now with a dirt race on it and a bunch of different road courses. So it almost kind of came into your skill set a little bit with you finished in where were you in points last year? 21st, 22nd?
Yeah, I think – I don't remember.
I think you're one of the most underrated guys on the grid.
We were surprised when first you lost to Chicago.
First year cup team, too. I mean, it was technically my rookie season, but it was colleagues' first year, too. And we finished 21st, 22nd. I don't remember what
it was. It's a huge step, dude.
Yeah, I do feel like it's a little underrated for what we accomplished last year. But and then this year, we're right there, too. I think AJ's 21st. I'm 23rd. So it's difficult.
Coming for you, though.
Yeah.
You are the winningest cup driver in Spire history.
I am.
Yes, you are.
So, yeah.
And that was weren't you one of only a couple guys? There's a short list of guys that have won a truck race.
I think there's 30 of us, 35, 36.
Pretty big.
Still a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's huge. But, yeah, going back to, Chicago, right, the Chicago street course, I think some people were surprised to see you leading that, but us knowing your background, I'm going to ask the hard-hitting question here.
Why didn't you wreck SVG?
Why didn't you wreck? Yeah, that was where I was trying to figure out how to word it.
Yeah. I mean, I...
Did you want to?
I woke up Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday having nightmares that I just didn't fence him. I mean,
it
I'm just...
Have taken much.
Just honestly. I mean, I was just like, man, Would it have changed anything? Probably not. I mean, I would have been a two-time Cup Series winner. But, I mean, you just, you know, you're put in these positions, and I think a little bit of it was the single-file restart. I don't think I had an opportunity. I mean, he was just quick. He had really fresh tires. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I've had nightmares ever since. I mean, it's seriously one of those things. You go back as a driver, and I'm like, man. And you know just where you're at in your career and things. I mean, how many times do you get an opportunity like that?
Yeah. Not often, but
not often. For me and Corey, those opportunities are extremely rare. And I mean, that's just the reality of it. So
Cup Series is hard.
Yes. So yeah, you have nightmares and you're like, man, like, especially, I mean, NASCAR came on the radio and said, hey, it's only one attempt at green, white, checkered. I mean, that's setting it up perfect for second place, right? I mean, just stuff them in the fence. But that's not who I am.
Yeah.
That's not who I am.
I've never
been that way. So yeah. You get a trophy, but I mean, I think for what it does personally for your own reputation, how you feel about yourself, I don't think I ever could have brought myself to it.
Yeah, you're right. That movie pulled on you was slick though too. Did you even anticipate him sticking to your right side like that?
So when I got a run off of two there and I, you know, crossed him over, and I mean, my car was not great. Just played some good strategy, obviously. And he was on the outside of me to the kink there. And any one of the Cup Series, I mean, they would have stayed side by side with you down in there. And he, I mean, you know, anyone would have stayed. When he rolled out of it.
Like, I got him.
I was like, oh, no. Like, as soon as I heard him crack it, I was like, that's not good. And then soon enough, I mean, it happened. But he was so strong under braking there. So, yeah, I mean, overall, great day. I mean, I already had my deal wrapped up with Rick and whatnot. So if I would have won that race, wouldn't have changed anything, but still would have been cool.
I'm glad you brought that up. We're trying to get you on the last couple of weeks. Obviously, big news in the life of Justin Haley. Career change, team change, going from College Racing, where you drove their first two years in the Cup Series for them as a race team, going to Rick Ware Racing, where some people from the outside in might not understand the move. What was the mentality of making that jump?
I think it's really tough for the outside person to understand. If you're not living, breathing the sport like the three of us do every week, I mean, it's tough to, you know, sit there on the couch and watch these races and understand the move. But, you know, I mean, part of it's business and part of it's just where do you want to be? You know, I think unless you can get into a key partner team, which a lot of those are, you know, legacied in, I mean, that's a key partner is who gets manufacturer support directly. So it's the Hendrix.
They hear from me every week.
We talk about that quite a bit in here.
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're not with a key partner team and you're kind of with the rest, I mean, they're all kind of lateral moves.
Yeah.
I mean, they just are. I mean, the only difference now with the car is people.
Yeah.
I mean, the people you got working on them is the only difference. And if you can't get into a key partner team that, I mean, you really can't. Like, a new team coming into the sport, it's so hard to get manufacturer support. I mean, it just is. And I guess you talk about that. But, I mean, so from that aspect, if you're not, you know, with a key partner team or can't get into a key partner team, I believe that you can pretty much go to anywhere and make it what you want. I mean, you see JTG this year. I mean, they're on fire. Front row's on fire. We were really good last year at College. I mean, I think we've fallen off a little bit this year, but last year, I mean, we were running, you know, 5th to 15th any week, and Spires picked up their program. So, I mean, it's just the people you got working on it.
So, who are the people over there that kind of get you excited to make the
move? Well, I mean, it starts with Rick. I mean, he is at the shop every day. I mean, he's in every meeting, and then he's got Robbie Benton over there, which is a guy from Penske. He's super professional. I've really enjoyed working with him so far, and yeah, I mean, just, you know, so how it all kind of initiated was, you know, kind of at the end of last year in 2022, we were starting to figure out, you know, what I was going to sign for in 2024. I mean, things happened so far in advance. You know, I thought I was going to get an extension at the end of last year from College. Never really heard anything from it. You know, kind of all the people I was around, you know, my agents were like, yeah, oh yeah, you'll be fine. And then, you know, kind of off season came around, never heard anything. So I was like, all right, well, start shopping around, see what's out there, and felt like I had some really strong deals. I mean, we talked at Charlotte, and I was like, yeah, man, I feel like I got four or five decent deals here. And, you know, I think every time that I was, you know, pitched Rick, right, from my people, you know, just from the start, I was like, man, like, something about it just seems different, and it just seems attractive to me. And yeah, that's I mean, he wants me to drive his car. You know, I think that's the biggest thing.
Yeah, you feel wanted.
Yeah. And Rick was, I mean, he just kept calling. Like, you know, he's like, hey, man, like, I want you to drive my car. I want you to drive my car. The whole deal. So, you know.
Let me ask you this. So I'm sure what several of those four or five deals you were talking about is the age-old question, would you rather run an Xfinity car than being competitive, or would you rather run a mid to low-tier cup car, right? So when you're sifting through those possible scenarios, what are you weighing more heavily on?
Well, I mean, it's just my future. You know, and even with college, you know, I feel like we could have done a cup deal, but at the end of next year, it would have been a one-year deal, and I'd be in the same shoes, right? So it's tough to live year to year as a driver. I mean, it's hard on you, and I'm getting married in November, trying to start a family. You know, there's a lot more to weigh into it than just being the competition side of things. Yeah, I mean, just Rick gave me a really good deal. There's a lot of opportunity to grow. He's got an IndyCar team, an IMSA team.
You run the Indy 500?
I don't know.
Ooh, double.
I don't know. Double. I don't know.
How much of seeing his success in IndyCar, NHRA, like, they're successful on those sides. And they seem to be, they've hired great people. They got
Rick's just a racer.
Alliance, right? For RFK.
Yeah, so I didn't even know. So to continue on, Rick, you know, is talking to my people, and my people are talking to me. I'm like, hey, just give me a meeting with Rick. Like, if I'm like, hey, I need to meet with Rick, talk to him, see what he's got going on. That's all I want. So I get a meeting with Rick, and they text me the address, and it literally just says RFK Racing. I'm like, what? Yeah. What is this?
RWR.
Yeah. I'm like, RFK. And I'm like, RFK? And, you know, I sent a question mark. And he's like, yeah, when you get to the RFK water fountain, text me, and I'll meet you outside. I'm like, what does that even mean? Like,
flick a little lucky penny into the fountain.
So I call my people. I'm like, hey, he sent me an RFK. And he's like, no, they're in RFK. I had no idea. I mean, I really didn't. I mean, so go to RFK. You know, Rick has his nice little shop there. And I walked through it. And man, beautiful shop. I mean, beautiful shop. And talked to Robbie Benton, talked to Rick for a while. And then walks in Brad Keselowski. And
Bradley.
Brad had some stuff to say, and then shook hands, and rest is history.
That's got to get you excited.
I had no idea.
2 weeks they had.
No idea. No idea when I said, hey, you know, let me talk to Rick. I mean, honestly, no idea they were aligned with RFK, which I guess I probably should have. I mean, they did announce that in February. But, it just shows
what... you never really know what the context of that is.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I wasn't expecting them to be there. Yeah, just Rick's put a lot into his NASCAR program, and, you know, he wins in all other forms of motorsports. The Cup Series is so hard. I mean, it's just so tough, and Rick is really making an effort to give us all the resources we need for next year and beyond to be successful. I want to go to war with these guys. I mean, I do. I want to go into battle and fight with these guys, and I want to have, you know, when we finish 5th, 10th, 30th, you know, I want to walk in and I want to look at all the guys and I want to do it together. And
that's pretty valuable, man, to know people have your back and you trust their name in your mouth. Like, that is super valuable. And what do you and I think people don't understand the amount of experience you have in the sport, one at all different levels of motorsports. There is a reason why Rick was calling you, right? Because he does feel like he can build around a guy like you. What do you think? You're still fairly young. How old are you?
24, I think.
So, you think.
I've taken some big hits lately.
Yeah, last couple weeks have been tough.
Yeah.
You're 24?
Yep, 24.
Yeah, with a lot of races under your belt, what do you think just you as a driver can bring to that smaller team to just instantly pick up the competition piece?
Yeah, you know, I was with Spire there with you for a while. You know, I think I almost thrive in the underdog scenario, giving less and making more out of it. Yeah, and I literally just want to go to the racetrack every weekend and have fun and enjoy the people I'm doing it with. I want to call Rick. You know, I just want to call it how I see it, you know? I want to be able to say what's wrong with the cars in a meeting and go to work and fix that. So, you know, the Cup deal's hard now. You know, there's no B motors. I mean, it's all A motor stuff. I mean, it's extremely tough. that's kind of what I go back to. You know, I mean, if you're not able to get into a key partner team, then you can kind of make whatever team you're with what you want, as long as all the resources are there. And I feel like you've done a great job with that in the 7 team, Inspire, and I mean, you've molded that race team around you.
Yeah.
And you love going to work every day.
For sure. I mean, talk about going to battle. I say that every week. It's like, this is the group of guys I want to go to battle with, because you know they got your back and you got theirs, and that's worth a lot. Let's rewind that a little bit. Did you not feel like there was a spot for you at college for 24?
No.
What was the reason why?
No, I felt like I said, we could have probably done a one-year deal. It's hard. It's hard living on one-year deals.
Yeah.
You know? I feel like it's tough to build. You know, if you think that you have that one-year deal and then, you know, you're out at the end of the season, I mean, what is there to build? You know, if I'm going to Rick Ware, you know, he's like, hey, man, I'll sign you for life. I'm like, hang on, Rick, you know? But, like, that's the mentality.
Yeah.
You know, he wants to bring me in, and he wants to build around me, and, you know, and I want to build around him. And you know, we were just talking off-show there about Bob Jenkins, Jerry Freeze, everyone at Front Row, investing in their drivers. And you have to appreciate that. I mean, you have to appreciate those guys being loyal to their guys, signing them up based off performance. And, I mean, even the guys at college, you know, they said after I released that I was leaving that it wasn't performance related.
Yeah, that's tough.
So there's only one thing it can be.
So will you race in the Indy 500?
Yes.
I would tell you, Rick Ware wants me to.
Oh, dude, you're the perfect height for an Indy car.
I am. Those things are, it's different.
Freaking speed coffins, bro. I mean, those things are unbelievable. Kyle Larson's car looks nasty, by the way.
Oh, both of them look sweet.
Oh.
Yeah, his cup car looks good.
But, so here's the deal. Let me just go ahead and organize this on the show.
It's more than one day, though. It's a month.
You would say it is a month. It's kind of like, yeah.
2.5 weeks.
Yeah, it's like 2.5. Don't church it up. You're home. Just put
3 weeks. That's pretty much.
Park your fifth wheel camper in the DO lot right next to Elio Castroneves and his little ice bath, and you'd fit right in.
Yeah.
And you could even save on logistics. You can just hop in Rick's helicopter and bird and fly to Charlotte when you're done. Do the double.
I mean, couldn't get any easier.
Couldn't.
No, so hey, can I borrow a ride? Sure. I think you could do it.
I don't know.
Let's start working on it. Hey, Rick, if you're listening, Justin dialed in.
Yeah. Man, I don't know.
Maybe you run the NHRA.
No, I wouldn't.
Too.
No, see?
I am a foot and a half taller than you.
The thing about it is
my head would be sticking out like Bowser.
You know, you've seen all these guys come in, right, at Indy this week. Plenty of talented race car drivers from other forums. And every time they get out of the car, they respect what we do.
Yeah.
Right? And I feel like the IndyCars guys respect us, and I respect the heck out of what they do. But I don't know if that means I'll do it.
You're an Indiana guy.
I know.
See, he's a Kannapolis guy. He wanted
There's
to race.
No, like, emotional attachment for me for that race. Never been to one. It's cool and all.
I went.
I got kids now.
I know.
Yeah, you don't have them yet.
You better
do it now.
Do it before kids come.
I don't know.
You could do it. Go do it.
I don't know.
You should do it. Shouldn't he do it?
Hey, Siri, call Rick Ware.
Yeah. Call Rick up right now. Yeah. Let's talk to him. So has it felt almost like, since you announced it fairly early in the season, right, you've now announced it about at the halfway mark, does it feel like a little bit of lame duck situation with 6 months left of the year, still a lot of racing to go? People know you're leaving. Has it changed the vibe in the shop any?
No, you know, I wouldn't think so. I think there was a lot of people wondering why we announced it so early. You just got to sell sponsorship. You know, if we waited till November to announce that I was going over there, you can't send a little pamphlet out that says, hey, to sponsors and try to attract it. And then also just
pamphlet.
Yeah.
I haven't heard pamphlet.
What are those things called?
I don't know. Sponsorship decks?
Yeah, sponsorship deck. Pamphlet. I call them pamphlets. Pamphlet.
Like a trifold?
Yeah, like in the mail.
Like you're going on a
And then also,
vacation.
I mean, just to be respectful of a colleague, you know, let them know early so they can get all their stuff in line and figure it out. But no, I feel like I got a strong 31 crew. I mean, I feel like we've definitely not had a good month just based off of bad finishes. But, you know, I feel like we have good speed. I mean, we qualified 15th right there behind you this weekend. And, I feel like it's been good.
Yeah.
But it's never not going to be an awkward situation, no matter what.
But that's a great point about one-year deals, right? Everybody's like, one-year deal, they have until November to figure it out. It's now. Yeah. Right. It starts in August.
No, May. Usually May is like.
Dude,
good thing you got it done because your May next year could be busy.
Yeah, you're going to be busy next
May. Yeah. 100. Yeah. Oh, gosh.
But we're going to talk that thing into fruition.
I couldn't because Larson would probably be the rookie to 500.
Not you could beat him. You can go in there and steal all the thunder.
Yes.
Well, didn't Jimmy get beat by another rookie a few years back?
I don't know.
Stingray Rob?
We're not talking about them. We're talking about you.
Stingray Rob?
Yeah.
Talking about you?
I don't know.
What an all-time IndyCar name, too. Stingray Rob.
I asked him this weekend.
I met him this weekend. I said, are you
Stingray? No, yeah. No, I went over to...
Yeah, man.
Yeah, look at my placard.
No, that's his name. It's on his driver's license.
It's absurd.
I thought it was like a...
You could have picked anything you wanted, but you went with McLovin?
Frank
McLovin, one name?
I went over there to Rick's little tent because the IndyCar guys have like the tents.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, and I'm like... Is that your real name? So, yeah.
Some bitch called Steve Irwin.
That's so cool. Could you imagine your name being Stingray Rob?
Dude, every time I see it on the broadcast, I'm like, God, that's so sweet. I'm going to change my name to Mako Shark Corey.
The first time I saw it, we were watching IndyCar, the Indy 500 driver intros. And my wife's like, rewind that. Wait, pause it. Yeah, that's his name. Yep. And so you Google it.
Well, now you're going to be teammates with him, right?
Teammates.
Yeah.
Teammates. Stingray Rob.
If you had to change your name to an animal name, what do you name it?
I don't know. That is an odd question to ask me on the spot.
Oh, man. What are you?
Yeah.
I just told you. Mako Shark Corey. I don't know.
Hammerhead Haley.
What's yours? Yeah, I like that. That looks free. Hammerhead Haley and Stingray Rob. What a duo in the Indy 500.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Let's freaking go.
Unreleased.
Okay.
They know now.
Now we know. Three questions. That was a what? Where'd that conversation go? I love it though.
I'm pumped. Well, hey, we're excited for you, man. We're pulling for you.
Yeah, the Indy 500 is gonna be wild.
You guys are out of control.
It's gonna be wild. Three questions for you, Lee. Question number one: if you had to pick one type of car and one racetrack to race at the rest of your life, what do you go with? Indy car at Indianapolis?
2023 Indy 500. 2024.
You guys are way too excited about that. I don't know. That's tough.
Well, you're wearing a hat with a dirt not modified number on it.
Yeah, love me. Love me some dirt racing. I feel like I always have wanted to go to Bathurst.
Ooh.
But there's also the Nürburgring. And that's just big enough that I feel like it wouldn't get old.
Yeah. It's 15 miles.
15 miles.
Yeah. A lot of places probably, are wrecked there.
Probably there.
As long as Joey's not out there with you.
Yeah. Oof.
Should be a good shape.
What car? There's a lot to choose from.
Yeah.
Dirt mod?
Dirt mod. Nürburgring.
I like that answer.
That wouldn't be
crazy question.
Fun.
Question number two, what's the most embarrassed you've been at the racetrack?
I guess probably after the old Xfinity race I gave away, Daytona.
How'd you give it away?
Went below the yellow line.
Oh, the 24 car, FOE. Yeah.
Believe it or not, the momentum took me down there.
I would agree with that.
I don't think there was much.
Pull the tape.
I don't think there was much I could have done with how crazy of a move it was.
Who ended up getting the win?
Larson. Kyle Larson.
Yeah. Dang it.
Who I will not be racing with next year in the Indy 500.
You say that now.
Yeah, just embarrassing. I mean,
I don't know why.
100% on me. But
so, okay, run me through that. So you cross the finish line first.
So legitimately, I didn't think that having 3 or 4 inches of your car under, I mean, I literally thought you had to go like 4 tires below it. I mean, I wasn't even. And then there's 2 lines. You know, which line are we counting?
Yeah.
Which one was it?
I don't know. I guess it's the furthest most inside one.
Yeah.
I mean, I was on the line more than anything. Yeah. I mean, there was probably 4 inches of my car over the line, but I thought it was like a majority thing. Mm. And I was like literally 18 at the time. So live and learn.
So you cross our finish line first.
Oh, yeah. Burn them down.
You did the burnout?
I don't know. I think I started to. Well, the problem was, great story. I was so excited, I just unhooked everything right away.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going on the backstretch, unhooking stuff.
Radio.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Radio's gone. Radio's off.
Yeah.
Radio's off.
Oh, no.
Radio's off.
Because you already won this thing.
Oh, boy.
Radio's off. And, I started doing donuts or something, and the car shut off. And then I see Larson doing donuts. Like through the infield. I'm like, oh, this isn't good. Oh, no. This is really not good. So then I just kind of.
Did you plug your ear?
No. You can't. If it would have been like the old style ones, you can. But with the new lightweight stuff,
Oh, they got to clock them the right way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I see Larson doing some, and I kind of see the replay up on the board and kind of trying to putting it all together. I'm like, oh, this ain't good. This is not good for the brand. Not that I have one. But so I fired her back up.
So who told – at what point did you realize, like, I didn't win?
I never had any radio communication, so I just got out. I just drove her back to pit road, got out, and
And did you ask, like, what is going on?
I was – no, they told me. Trust me. They told me.
At least you didn't, like, run up to the flag stand to get the flag, and they were like,
man, it was like,
man,
it was a one-off.
Better call somebody.
It was a one-off deal. It was my second start. Like, I was in a GMS second car. Like,
yeah.
I still got the body. It's hanging in my dirt mod shop.
Infamy.
It was embarrassing. But it's part of life.
It is part of life.
Part of it.
Don't go below the yellow line.
Yep.
Dang it. Question number three. If you had to lose every single one of your racing memories and keep one, what do you pick?
Oof, that's tough.
That's why I asked it.
That's tough. Man. I think when I look back at, like, obviously I think the high moments, your wins. I think one of my most important wins in my career was my first real Xfinity win was at Talladega. Tough season. It was like a year and a half into Xfinity.
At college.
At college. I mean, it's April race, but it gets tough. It gets tough when your teammates are winning. You know, AJ's over there winning a bunch. And just to prove to yourself that you can do it, you know. So I'd probably say that race kind of cemented in my mind is always one that I was like, hey, might be okay, you know.
Talladega.
So.
That's the one. Yeah. That's the one. Pull the tape on that too.
Good one. So.
I'm going to ask you one more question.
Question four.
Yes.
Does it have to do with the Indy 500?
No. That would be funny though if it did. What was there a moment in your life of a decision that you made that if you didn't make that decision then you wouldn't be a race car driver?
Yeah, I mean there's plenty. You know, I've always kind of struggled with like the fan side of being a race car driver. I feel like I had a pretty tough middle school and high school.
Were you bullied?
Stretch. Yeah, I got pulled out. Got pulled out of high school. Super super bad experience. You know, just started racing. Got a GED. You know, I think, you know, early on I started racing because I just
go rough some people up.
No, man, I just like the competition. Like, I just want to be a race car driver. And then there's a point in your career where it's more than being a race car driver, right? You got to be public figure. Salesman. You have to be a salesman. You have to, and you know me. If you get to know me, I'm good. But from the outside, I'm very introverted, like extremely introverted. You'll find me eating takeout at my house every night of the week.
What's your go-to takeout order?
We're way off subject. Sushi. Yeah.
Okay.
Probably just sushi.
Ease.
So, no, not Ease. Pisces.
Oh, you're up in Mooresville.
Yeah. Mm. So, yeah. So, always struggled there. And then, you know, I was like, well, you know, if I'm struggling this bad, just communicating with people, like, probably be okay to get paid to sit in a race car and not have to talk to anyone for a few hours.
Pretty sweet gig.
So, yeah, that kind of shaped me early on and to who I was. And then, yeah, I found a really good deal. So I was racing late models around the Midwest for a while. And I was racing for a championship in the CRA Tour. And I was leading the championship, I believe. Got a call that Venerini had four or five races open in one of their cars. And I think that was kind of like the turning point. So they came to me, and I was like literally 15. They're like, hey, you want to run for this championship or do you want to go race ARCA? And move to North Carolina. And I was like, well,
let's get after it.
Moving to North Carolina. Yeah. Had some really good races with Venerini. And then the next year I was with H. Scott. So I think that was kind of the turning point was that decision. I mean, man, you're so young. Living in Indiana. I mean, maybe not for you, but for a lot of us, there's that moment where you had to move here.
Yeah, I've never moved. So like, I don't.
Maybe you should. Maybe you should.
Move out.
Move back in.
Yeah, that's something I've never really thought about, of just like leaving everything that you've known.
Well, there wasn't much.
It's Indiana.
Wasn't much. I didn't have much going on up there. I mean, it was tough stretch for me, but found my groove in racing. And
I'd say you're pretty good at it, my friend.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, good luck to you the rest of the year. Good luck on your next adventure.
Thank you.
Welcome back anytime.
Thank you.
And you better be warming that foot up for kickball, buddy.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Hope you enjoyed that conversation with Justin Haley. We're going to break down the pit road woe of the week. Stick around.
Let's face it. People have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Pit Road, Boats, and Woe of the Week with a 99. I had a woe myself. We already got into it. I'm ashamed. I'm sad. I'm over it. The 99 guys also have some getting over to do as well. Tough, tough incident there.
Yeah, it's tough, and it, you know, it's a that was a full team event. Because it started, you know, it's easy to just say, blame it on the hose thrower, blame it on the changer or the jackman. But there was a lot of things that had to go wrong for that situation to take as long as it did. So we'll just start right from the get-go. Those pit boxes are like a football field long. Yeah,
it's like two car lengths long.
So the first problem is Daniel rolls in the pit box, and it seems like he kind of tried to roll to his sign. He rolled past it, like 3 to 5 feet. That is super important, especially on a backward stop, because just like they do in the rear, you're throwing your hose. So the hose kind of took a bad bounce when it hit the ground and coiled up, but then he drove on top of it. So they were kind of set up where they wanted to be. Then he drove over it, and you don't have the time to get it out of there. You can't do it, especially if you're changing left-handed. You can't scoop it out of there. The second thing that happened is their jackman, you have the option. Most teams still, the jackman drops the car on the left side, which is the first side you're doing, and they run around the front of the car still, even though it's backwards. Some teams drop the car and run around the back of the car because they feel like it's faster. Most teams don't because it kind of impedes your fuel, but they ran around the back of the car. So if he was running around the front of the car, he would have saw that.
Yeah.
They don't have the intercom microphones that a lot of teams have now, so they just kind of stood there and waved their hands and didn't understand what was going on. I feel like in that situation, I would just try to push the car backwards and roll it off the hose.
But it's almost like by the time that guy would have had time to push the car back, it was already pegged and jacked up on the right side.
Yeah, so they were like, uh-oh. So it took them a little while to kind of identify the issue. But
how long did the stop end up being?
They probably lost 10 seconds, if not more.
Mm.
And that's what – they were in the mix, right? Yeah. It was the 9 car, the 34. He had just passed the 9 car back. And it was going to be a little bit of a pit competition to get off pit road, which at that point you're waiting on fuel anyway, but he had beaten the 34 off pit road on the sequence before that because he was in pit stall one. Mm. So he just merged right in front of him because the rolling time was so much better. So really if they execute there as a team, right? At the end of the day, Dan I'm just proud of Daniel in the way he handled it, because he got out and he said, we win and lose the team, right? It's devastating, but we win and lose the team. And he's, you know, that I admire that. That's the word. I admire that. And for him to get out and just say that and own it, because I'm sure when he gets back and look at it, he's going to say, and I don't know how easy it is to, I've never done it, how hard it is to stop on your sign or how easy it is to stop on the sign. But it's a very, very important part of the pit stop now.
Yeah.
And that is exactly why. Because if you don't, you know, you're asking these guys to be perfect to do, you know, at ovals, 9-second stops, right? They're at 11-second stops. You're asking them to be perfect and do their job right.
When you jump off the wall, do you already have your spot kind of picked out, knowing that you're going to hit your knees if – and you're banking on the car being within a 6 to 8 inch range quarterback.
I do. Yeah. Probably within a foot.
Yeah.
I do. And I think it's, and so you could, yeah. You could attest to this. I think that some tracks are easier than others. because there's tracks that we go to where it's like, oh, we're all over the board today.
Yeah.
And there's other tracks we go to where we're like, damn, Ryan put it on the sign every time today. And there's guys that are better at it too, right? And there's guys that are better and are worse. But
some boxes are more slippery than others.
Yeah, and it just looked like Daniel did like a slow roll into his stall, like a stop and a roll almost, yeah. Which is the like I feel like the worst thing.
Yeah.
You could do, but yeah, that cost those guys. You know, it cost them the race, but also a shot at the playoffs, and you could see that the heat is on them, especially for the next two races. So,
man, it just goes to show how perfect you have to be. One tiny mistake.
Super pumped. Shifting gears for the 34 guys. So a list off, they are going to be the 54 fastest on pit road again. They have been the last couple weeks. We have talked enough about them this year.
Yeah, and they were the pit crew champs at Wilkesboro. Yep, we already gave them dogs.
We already know they're dogs. They're dogs every week. But these boys here on the 34 car. The
underdogs.
Yeah. The underdogs.
The underdogs of the week.
Who we got? Scotty Brzozowski, front tire changer. He is a stud. He's been around a long time. Old dog. Older than
He's an old dog. New tricks.
Yeah, well, that's the nice part about this team. Because you got old dogs like him and Josh Leslie, rear tire changer.
Old dog.
Champion of the sport. Changed tires for the 18, Kyle Busch.
Are these guys RFK guys?
No, they are front row guys. Front row. They have hired their own guys.
Really?
Yep. Oh. Especially for that car. I think they train at Gibbs. And then in the middle, you got Ricky Rosé. Ricky Rozier, yeah, he's a fueler. Yeah, I'm sure that you've worked with Ricky before. You know, you've seen him around. And Caleb Dirks.
Dog.
And then young dog, Paul Steele.
Little guy?
Tire carrier.
Little dog?
No, he's not little.
He's a big
he's
dog?
He's just young.
Young dog?
Yeah, he's just young. So, man, super pumped for those guys. And obviously being led by our friend Travis Peterson.
Oh, dog.
That's a tough spot to be in when you're with a team that's going to win a big race like Indy. You can only mess it up.
Yeah.
So the heat's on, and, you know, they come down there, and having veteran guys that have won a lot of races like Scott Brzozowski and Josh Leslie to lead that team and you know, execute, get that thing full of fuel and the wheels tight, go out there, and they, you know, end up holding off a team like the 9 car. It's one of the best teams in the sport, so.
No easy task. Those guys got it done.
You know what else isn't going to be easy?
What?
This weekend. Double backwards stops, two in a row.
Mm.
Watkins Glen, tight pit boxes.
And
downhill.
A really downhill. Do you guys, big ideally, time. Do you, if you have a early pit road box choice, do you try to pick on the flat?
Let me tell you what crew chiefs pick. Tell whatever me. They think is going to be best for rolling time.
Okay.
Yep, that's it.
They don't care about elevation change.
Not a flying handshake.
Mm.
Nope. Yeah, whatever's the best for rolling time. And it's our job to... It's our job.
We had a fuel can penalty last year.
This is an easy one because the pit boxes are shorter. So with the pit boxes being shorter, you guys will turn the wheels to the left to get out of the pit box, which the gas man's already plugged in like the opposite way they usually do. So they're in an awkward position anyway, and it doesn't take much to get those Schultz heads hung up in there. Combat that with you guys leaving and kind of fishtailing out. That thing gets stuck in there and it's going for a ride.
Mm.
But
can't do that.
The old hockey coach himself, Brian Holland from Gibbs, his old wise tale would say, if that gas can's going down pit road, you better be f-ing attached to it.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
that's the old wise tale. So we'll see. The execution's going to be the main theme this weekend, but if we get a couple cautions, I think this place breeds cautions a little bit more than...
Much less runoff. Yep. S's are tight.
Dude, McDowell, I was changing tires on McDowell's car, the 95, when he split that thing in half here.
Yeesh.
Ooh, buddy.
Was that where Rudman flipped over?
No, that was... I was with the 6 car that year. He flipped over, like, coming to the checkered. It was in the, like... It was in the S's.
In 2.
Yeah.
He hit the outside wall and came back in into traffic.
Now, McDowell...
off a carousel.
Off a carousel. Yeah. He went and it spit him back across the track or
that
whatever.
That was a big
wreck. Oh, baby.
That was a big wreck. Need a couple of those. Hopefully, I'm not in one.
Yeah.
Spice it up a little bit. I don't really want to see it go green and checkered like we saw this past week. You know, it up.
What's one Watkins Glen member you always think of?
I mean, low hanging fruit's going to be the Brad Marcus Ambrose finish.
What about the Matt Kenseth autograph signing guy?
Dude, I was just about to say that. What about the balls on that fan to just go out there, or he was just drunk, probably both, and just ask for a hat sign?
Would you sign it?
Yeah.
See, that's my first red flag on Matt Kenseth. He didn't sign that guy's stuff. Second one is that he pulled in Martinsville. But anyway, that's all I got for the week.
Yeah, if some guy hops the fence and wants to go you to sign a hat, sign the damn hat. The guy's going to jail.
Yeah.
At least sign the man's hat.
Yeah.
Just not, you know, hey.
That guy probably wouldn't want his hat signed after he watched that shit at Martinsville, though.
Probably not. He's like, good thing. Probably not. What about when Tony Stewart shit his pants at Victory Lane?
Yeah.
It's one of all timers.
He just drove to his bus. He's just like in a white fire suit. Damn it.
Tough look.
Ugh. Well,
tough look. We'll yeah, that's a good Watkins Glen memory.
Memorable ones this
weekend.
And then
Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see if anything else is memorable this weekend. Hopefully I don't make any memories like Tony Stewart did.
Don't poop yourself, man.
I'll try not to. We'll see. Could get out of hand. Could get a little crazy. We got some Penny for Your Thoughts questions that are pretty crazy. Chuck, hit me.
All right. Penny for Your Thoughts at Riverboy662 wants to know, after the race, NASCAR officials appear to hook up a computer to the cars. What exactly are they doing and what information are they gathering?
Just EFI data. Make sure there's no shenanigans there. I believe they check multiple different things. I don't really know exactly what they check, but I also know in my case, we get Hendrick engines, so they are consistently hooking that thing up and checking, making sure that, you know, all the cylinders are firing, all the fuel air mixture is looking like it's supposed to, just to make sure there's no issues. So that laptop tells you a lot of stuff.
All right, got one. It comes from Ben M., and he says, congrats, Corey, on the contract extension. Well-deserved. That being said, considering you and your team have only improved this year, what are future expectations for you and Spire? Are the playoffs for next year on the horizon?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that we started this first half of the year comparable to the 34 last year. And I feel like I have made some mistakes, whether it be just pit road penalties or just there's some things I need to clean up behind the wheel to maintain track position when we have a good driving car. So if we can clean those up and bring some cars with a little more pace like we have been lately, I do think that we can be in a similar situation as Michael McDowell this year, continue to work on my road course racing skills, try to get better with that. But I do think there is a lot of potential for us to make a playoff run next year, I hope. You know, and you also got your wild card chances at Atlanta and Daytona and Talladega, so we'll certainly be loaded for bear for that. But we need to get a little more consistent, a little less hot or cold. Clean those up, some things behind the wheel and things in terms of setup. So, yeah, there are some tangible things that we're going to work on to make us better, and I'm excited to see how those come about. Penny Stacker of the Week, two of them, two sisters. We go Sparks, Leanne, and I went to St. Elmo's, sitting there having a nice steak dinner, and there was a family from, I don't know exactly where they were from, at the next table over, and their two daughters wearing Chevrolet shirts were like just super starstruck to see me. And it was funny how they were just so giddy. They said they listened to the podcast. So shout out Ella and Addison from St. Elmo's. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Hope you guys had fun this weekend. You guys are the Penny Stackers of the Week. You guys are the Penny Stackers of the Week too. That's all we got today. Make sure you tweet us your questions. Hashtag Penny for Your Thoughts. Also, make sure you guys like, download, share, rate, review, do all the things. And tune into Spare Change this weekend, breaking down all things Watkins Glen and who is it gonna be. Also, next week, guys, we have a surprised co-host coming in. We're gonna break down a lot of things. Great perspective. Excited to have them on the show next week, so you do not want to miss that. And this is Stacking Pennies, presented by Mobile One. Talk to y'all next week. Bye.